We've come to have our second look at the book of Ruth here this evening, and really I want to do chapters 2 to 4 here this evening. Well, you may think that's rather a lot to look at, but really the things are quite straightforward and yet a real and great blessing to us. We see Ruth as a new convert. Well, we must look at this book and see that it is for us today. We are interested in the details of things that happened years ago, but we must apply these things to our own situations and churches and individual lives. And we see Ruth as a new convert, of course, joining the church. Well, of course, in those days, the people of God, Israel. She had had a searching inquiry made concerning her faith. Naomi pressed her until she makes this marvellous statement of commitment and trust in the living God that we read of in the first chapter and which we had looked at. And she, Ruth, unlike Orpah, had thrown in her lot with the God of Israel and with his people. Her profession of faith is so strong, so thorough, so determined, and it was matched by her following of Naomi, her mother-in-law, to Bethlehem. As was said of Abraham of old, she went not knowing whither she went, but believing God and putting her trust in him as the Saviour and as her provider, she experiences the greatest of blessings. So it is true that each new convert now, and nothing less than this that we see in chapter 1, the experience of Ruth, nothing less than this can be true conversion. And we see the same things today. These things that were written of old are for our learning on whom the ends of the world are come. We see all this as teaching for us, the people of God in our day, how we deal with new believers and what their experience is. There are other glorious things in these chapters as well. But this is how we look at these things. We must see that this is how we are to view new converts. What the great changes that came over Ruth. We must see radical change in people today and how they come into the church. And we'll see that in picture. And yet it was an actual history here as well. Well, the picture continues here in chapter 2 and verse 1. And we really just go through these verses one by one. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, Naomi's husband before. And his name was Boaz. Naomi and Ruth have a kinsman, Boaz. He's mighty, he's wealthy. As we shall see, he's good. He's a good man. So every believer, of course, has the Lord Jesus Christ. Mighty to save, wealthy beyond imagination, and the one who will make Ruth happy and absolutely secure. Well, of course, he is the one that makes every true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, he makes them secure and happy for ever and ever. Verse 2, Ruth says to Naomi, well, let me go to the field and glean. And you understand the gleaning of Israel in those days, that when the corn, the barley here, and later on the wheat was being cut, that where there were bits and pieces left behind, then the very poorest, those that would otherwise be beggars, could go after the reapers. They weren't allowed to actually pluck up any corn, but any that was left behind, they could pick up, so that in a time of harvest, they would have enjoyed the plenty that was there. And this was a provision of God for the poor. And so she went to glean. And we see here that she, her mother-in-law says, go. This is good. This is what you ought to do. So Ruth is seeking grace. You see that there? Wow, I want to go into a field where perhaps there is someone that will allow this gleaning. You can imagine that there were some Israelites that perhaps wouldn't have allowed it. They wouldn't have gone along with the law of God, being greedy and mean. But she hopes to come to a field where she could find grace and favour, where someone would smile upon her and she would be able to collect some corn for herself and for her mother-in-law. Well, we see she seeks advice from an older, more experienced believer, Naomi. Well, this is what new converts ought to do. Well, we all know that grace is all that we need. We deserve nothing, but all those who will be saved know it is grace that saves them. Verse 3, so she comes, she gleans in a field, and her hap, it just happened to be, although we know this was the very providence and guidance of God, But as far as the ordinary narrative is concerned, well, it just happened that she was light. She lights on the field of that belonging to Boaz, who we've been introduced to in verse 1 as the near kinsman of Elimelech. Well, her hap, but it was God's mercy and providence. She seeks Christ without hardly knowing. This is what each convert does as they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they hardly know what they're doing or where they're going. But in the end, God makes it clear, and it is Christ that they are searching for. So a new convert presses on in faith and in seeking, but will be directed secretly by the Holy Spirit to Christ himself. Verse 4, and behold, Boaz comes out of Bethlehem, out into the fields. And we have these delightful greetings here. So that he says to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And here they answer, the Lord bless thee. And actually, just occurs to me that you see how helpful the Old Authorised Version is there, because the you is plural and the thee is singular. And very often you find in the scriptures its use, it's obvious here, but in other places such language is so helpful to us. Well, Boaz shows his relationship to his people, his servants and his friends. And his word is, the Lord be with you. And the servants feel it. And, well, I'm going to use the word worship a few times tonight. You'll understand the context in which I use that word. And it's as if they worship. And they bless the one that was such a good master to them. The Lord bless thee. So all God's true people know fellowship with their saviour and master, and willingly serve him and bless him in worship. What a picture we have here in this wonderful book of Ruth. Well, verse 5. So Boaz says to his servants, well, who's this young lady? Boaz takes note of the new one. He instantly recognises her as a stranger. So he most certainly knows all those that come to put their trust in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows each one, of course, long before they ever come to know him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, takes an intense interest in his own. He knows them before the foundation of the world. Well, verse 6 there, you see they inform Boaz, this is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. Well, of course, the news was buzzing around the village at this time. We know that they all wondered at Naomi when she returned with nothing. And so they inform Boaz who she is and what she has done, the new convert. This new convert was a heathen and an idolater. She was a sinner, a stranger, one without hope and without God in the world. But she has come out of that. She has come to seek the living God. She has identified with Naomi, with the people of God, and expressed her desire and determination to be at one with the people of God. So, of course, any new convert comes back from the world and from Satan. They come back to God, their maker, and trust they will be forgiven and accepted. And this acceptance will come here, in Ruth's case, through Boaz himself, as we find acceptance in the only Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 7, and the servant goes on to say, well, she said to me, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came, and she's been doing that from the morning till now, and now she's tarried a little in the house. No doubt the sun has got to her, and the hard work of bending down and going round, picking up every tiny piece that was precious to her in the field. Now she's having a rest. Well, Boaz is informed of her request to glean, and he's informed of her diligence to do what was right for herself and her mother-in-law. Wow, the Lord Jesus Christ watches to see if those that profess his name will go on in the right direction and seek a place amongst his people and serve him and seek assurance that they are safe. Well, she tarries a little in the house. She was tired. She'd worked hard. Perhaps the sun had got to her. This shows that she was diligent and absolutely determined to, as we sometimes say, make a go of it and not to give up at the first difficulty. Wow. We've seen many give up, so many that have professed Christ, and they've given up in such a short while. As the parable of the sower tells us, either the cares of this world, or the offence that comes to them because of the word of God, Well, they give up and they go back into the world. That's what we call temporary faith. And it does not save. But not this one, not Ruth. She is a real convert. Verse 8, Boaz says to Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in any other field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be upon the field that they do reap. Go after them. I've charged the young men that they do not touch thee. And when thou art athirst, go to the vessels, drink of that which the young men have drawn." Wow. The first word of Boaz to Ruth is a caution. Go not. The safest place for Ruth is amongst Boaz's people. Keep fast by them, close to them, he says. Associate only with my people, my servants, those that love and honour me. Exactly as the Saviour would caution everyone that comes to know him. This is the great mistake that so many have made, that they have not separated themselves from those that have no interest in the Saviour, the Redeemer. There have been those that have still dabbled with the world and been drawn back. The Saviour cautions all those that seek him to abide with his people, to abide with his word, to abide with his ways. And then in verse 9, see what he says to Ruth. Follow these my maidens, my servants, my people. Follow them. Do what they do. Oh, what sound advice there in that situation. Do what they do, and no harm shall come to thee, is the promise. All will be provided. Trust me, says Boaz. Just as the Saviour says, drink of the water of life freely, and we shall be saved as we come to trust in him. Well, verse 10, she falls on her face, bows herself to the ground, and says to him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" Oh, yes. She begins to experience all that Naomi had no doubt told her, of what she would receive as she trusted Naomi and trusted these people and trusted in the God of Israel. She begins to experience all these things here, and that had been taught her in her own heart, no doubt also by the Holy Spirit, all that she might expect from the only one that could redeem her and save her. But though she had been led to expect it, as new converts do by the gospel, as it happens, she's overwhelmed. Why have I received this? Why do you treat me like this? I'm a stranger. I'm a sinner. An undeserving idolater. Why is grace shown to me? Well, you see this pictured with new believers and those that are coming to know the Lord, new converts. Very soon they understand grace and they marvel. Many professors of faith never do. They even believe that their own choice to follow Christ in some way was meritorious to them. That God was pleased with them and so he saved them. Well, nothing could be further than the case. But here we see a real convert. She expresses her wonder at the kindness and mercy of the one that's going to redeem her, and especially the grace. Well, verse 11, Boaz says, "Well, it has been fully shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, how you've left your father and your mother and the land of your nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not before." Verse 12, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Boaz knows what has happened. We must be careful here not to see any works. The main part that Boaz takes notice of here is that she'd left her father and mother. She'd left the land of her nativity. She has come to put her trust in the God of Israel. That's what the big thing that he is saying and takes notice of here. It is the response of God's working in Ruth's heart and mind and life that he's taking note of. And there in verse 12, this is what Ruth has done. She has come to put her trust in the Lord God of Israel. Under his wings, you have come to put your trust. Wow, this is marvellous. And this is such a picture of a new conversion. This was not earned. This is only the blessing and reward that comes by grace. So the Lord has only exceeding great and precious promises to those who truly come to trust in him for salvation. And then verse 13. So Ruth says, "Let me find favour, grace in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto another one of your handmaidens. I'm not originally an Israelite. Well, Ruth can only accept and believe what he says. She's overwhelmed, but thankful, and worships. You understand what I mean in the picture. She recognizing that she was so recently so different from those others of Boaz's people. And we never forget what we were and what the grace of God has done for us. And she asks for further grace to obey what he says. And we all ask day by day, let us find favour and grace in God's eyes to live according to his precepts. And so verse 14, Boaz says to her, at the mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar, the wine, weakened wine. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. And she did eat and was sufficed and left. In fact, she'd had enough even of what he had given to her. And she saves the rest of that meal for her mother-in-law when she gets home, as we see a little later. But here, oh yes, this is marvellous. Here is a physical supply for her from the Redeemer, her near kinsman. And of course, what a spiritual supply we have at times of private devotion. And of course, at public worship, we're fed with the others of God's people, and he himself serves her. Well, this is all a wonder to us as the Saviour comes and feeds us with the living bread. Her thoughts, even at this meal, are for Naomi, still poor, penniless, and without an income. Ruth, as we shall see, saves part of that meal for her, Naomi, and we see how thoughtful she has become. Well, Boaz is anxious for his people to look after Ruth. Verse 15, when she's risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Well, you see, this was the first further favour, because the law didn't really allow you to go in amongst the sheaves, where there'd be lots more that had fallen to the ground until they'd gathered it all up and bound it up, as it were. So here she would be able to get so much more. And Boaz is anxious for his people to look after Ruth in her early need as a new convert, to make supplies easily available to her. Oh, that the people of God must make special provision and take care of those that recently come to know the Lord, of course, is their duty. And this is the commandment of the Lord himself for his church, that we watch over those little ones that come to know the Saviour. Well, verse 16, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose. Do it on purpose. Leave a lot more behind than you normally would. Leave them that she may glean them. And don't tell her off. Don't rebuke her. Constant and manifold care and provision, and dealing carefully with the young convert, not to discourage such a one in all the new things that they must learn. What a picture this book is. It's so simple, isn't it? You can do this work yourself. Verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. I can't really describe to you how much that is, but I think the idea is it was a lot, much more than you would expect from a day's gleaning. And we would say, of all new converts, well, she laps it up, all that Boaz provided for her. So verse 18, she took it up, went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned and would have been surprised. She brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved. After that she was sufficed. So of the meal that was provided for the reapers by Boaz, she'd saved some of that also, which was ready food for her mother-in-law there. Well, Naomi is no doubt so pleased. Everything announces that Ruth's experience was true to what she had been told. And Naomi herself is delighted that Ruth is thinking of her, even though that day, all through that day of hard work and all those new situations that she would come into, she had perhaps one thought in her mind: I want to serve my mother-in-law also, who has been so kind to me. Verse 19, her mother-in-law says, where did you glean today? Where were you working? Blessed is he that took knowledge of thee and has given thee so much. And she showed her mother-in-law, with whom she had wrought, the man's name was Boaz. Boaz, here's the providence of God. She was being helped by the Redeemer kinsman who was going to save her and marry her, as we know. Well, verse 20, Naomi is overjoyed. Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead, her husband and her two sons. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. So the way she says that gives you the idea that she knew that there was another one that was closer. And we come to that in a while. Naomi is overjoyed. She begins to see the outcome of all this. She is excited. She blesses God. Now Naomi also is returned to hope. Remember, she called herself Mara, miserable, when she came back. But now she begins to hope even much more than perhaps she was the frame of mind that she was in as she returned and called herself Mara. Now she is assured that God never leaves off his kindness and provision for those that are his. Well, verse 21. Ruth said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they've ended all my harvest. Well, that's what she was going to do. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that thou meet thee not in any other field. And so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean to the end of the harvest. Wow, as her mother told her. Well, here we see that Naomi repeats Boaz's warning. Stay with the Redeemer's people. And so she did. And so we come to chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Naomi now sees it all. As an experienced believer, she knows what must happen. And she will not rest content till it's done, that Ruth be assured of salvation and grace, and be absolutely one of Boaz's people, even his wife. Verse 2. Now, is not Boaz our kindred, with whose maiden thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. So the harvest has got well on. They're now turning it into the grain by the winnowing method. I'm sure you're familiar with that. And they would do that in the evening when the breeze would get up. So Ruth must go to him. Ruth must go to him, as all seekers must to Christ, the Redeemer. Now, all this episode that we'll see here must be seen in the light of Naomi's absolute trust in Boaz's personal holiness and integrity. Some have maligned Naomi here in saying that this was a very doubtful procedure that we're going to read of here in this chapter, to get Ruth to see Boaz in the night and more or less ask him to marry her, and the consequences to Ruth if he had been anything less than honourable in that dark night. But Naomi has no doubt Boaz was above reproach. No doubt he was an older man, and that he was kept by the Lord's providence from marrying earlier. We're pretty sure that that is the case. So that in the providence of God, he might marry Ruth, which would have been something entirely outside of his knowledge before all this happened. Also, Boaz's life and family and prospective marriage and offspring would have been so vital to him, to Boaz, that he would never do anything to mar that purity and walk that he had with God. Now, Naomi knew this. Boaz was well known to Naomi. Boaz knew this also, that there was not the slightest danger of anything happening that was not pure, that was not right, and bound to result in blessing only for Boaz, Ruth, and Naomi. Naomi knew what would happen. She only asked Ruth to trust her, and so to trust Boaz. Well, verse 2, she informs Ruth, and now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maiden thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight by the threshing floor. And verse 3, here are the instructions from Naomi to Ruth. Wash thyself therefore, anoint thee, put thy raiment upon thee. It must have been so poor, but at least it would have been clean. Get thee down to the floor, the threshing floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he have done eating and drinking, had his evening meal. Well, sanctify yourself. Make yourself clean and acceptable. And verse 4. Well, and it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do. This is as if, almost as if Boaz and Naomi were discussing the whole matter. By law, Ruth was Boaz to redeem, to buy as his wife. Naomi, we presume, probably knew about that nearer kinsman, but even knowing that, she felt sure that God's providence was leading towards Boaz being the redeemer. This, what we read in verse 4, is very formal. A very formal asking of Boaz to undertake what, according to the laws of Israel, was his right and obligation to redeem Ruth and marry her. Well, here in verse 5, Ruth accepts Naomi's directions. And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." We might say, did she not fear some misunderstanding in this arrangement and a bad outcome? What would Boaz think of her offering herself? Suppose Boaz took ill advantage of her. What excuse could Ruth give? She'd opened herself up to it. Would she put herself in the way of sin? But this is all trust. This is all understanding. This is all purity and knowing the Lord's will. And so verse 6, she goes trustingly. She went down to the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. She goes trustingly to the one that was going to redeem her. Verse 7, when Boaz has eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, not drunk, their wine wouldn't have been enough to make them drunk, but he was merry, he was content. And he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. Well, you see, you had to guard your corn in case someone else in the village came and stole it. So he would lay down by the heap of corn until it was bagged up and put in the barns. And she came softly and uncovered his feet, just took the end of his long robe and just put it over her and laid her down by his feet there. So she goes trustingly. He lays down to protect his corn. She lifts up his long robe and covers herself at his feet. All that she did was to be fully understood by Boaz. He would understand it in an instant, what she asked and what he ought to do. So verse 8, at midnight, he has this fear. And he turns himself and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she said, "I'm Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Cover me, redeem me, marry me," is what she's saying. And Boaz understood this completely and absolutely. And he said, verse 10, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people know that thou art a virtuous woman." Well, of course, this was the outcome Naomi knew absolutely would happen. Boaz, in his purity and his understanding, well, he's overjoyed. Perhaps he was getting on in age. That's the impression given here. And Boaz understands at once what must be done. This is all to show us that Naomi was absolutely right to trust him and what he would do. Ruth was not in the slightest danger. Naomi knew that. And Ruth trusted Naomi. And so she trusted Boaz. Verse 11, he says, "I will redeem you." He knew that she was pure. So verse 12. "And now it is true, I am a near kinsman, albeit there is a kinsman nearer than I." This all introduces us to the law of kinsmen and redeemers, which is such a theme in this book. Someone else had a nearer right to redeem her. So that must be sorted. Verse 13, "Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman," well, that's okay. Let him do the kinsman's part. "But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning." Well, even in his own mind, Boaz knew that the nearer kinsman, in the end, wouldn't perform that obligation because there was a difficulty, and he knew that and understood it. And so he is very sure what the outcome will be. And so he says here in verse 13, more or less, "Next day it will all be sorted. Don't worry, Ruth," he says. Well then, for the sake of no scandal being or misunderstanding, in this situation. Let it not be known, he says to her, verse 14. She lay at his feet till morning. She rose up before anyone could know another. It was still quite dark. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came to the floor. Verse 15, he gives her a pledge of his willingness to save her and bless her. So he measures an enormous, more or less as much as she could carry in her skirt there, 6 measures of barley, so that she goes home to Naomi there. And she comes home, still in the dark. Who art thou, my daughter? Well, I think she knew who it was. This is just a way of speaking. You know, is that you, Ruth? What have you got to tell me? That's more or less what she says. And she told her all that the man had done to her. Ruth rehearses all that happened. Verse 17, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Well, Boaz's kindness to all his people, shown there just as the Saviour. He's so kind to all his people. Verse 18, then she said, sit still, my daughter. You're not going out gleaning today. Not until this is all sorted, because we know that he will sort it out. The man will not be in rest until he hath finished this thing today. Very soon all will be well and settled. And we can understand even the excitement of Naomi. She sees what will happen. So the last chapter. Then went Boaz up to the gate, sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. He turned aside and sat down. Some think that this was Elimelech's brother. That's how close he was to the situation. But again, he would have been older, probably already married. Whereas it seems that Boaz was not married. Well, at the gate, where all is settled in those ancient civilizations, all legal matters agreed to. And here Boaz would redeem Ruth. Verse 2, he took 10 men, the elders of the city. They had to sit down so that in the witnessing of the 10 men, well, it would all be seen clear as to what was happening. All would be legal and binding and right. So when the Lord redeems one of his, we are spiritually and legally redeemed, bought with a price, set free by the payment of his blood. And heaven's court declares us righteous and to be his forever, safe and saved. Verse 3. He said to the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. People get slightly confused with what's going on in these redemption situations here. But all the land that was Elimelech's was still Naomi's. Probably it was unworked. Naomi had no servants. It was useless to her. She couldn't do anything with it. And so someone would need to buy it off her and give her the money. And then when the Jubilee came round, it would come back to her again. But the point is, it had to go to the family, which is what the business of being a near kinsman was all about. It mustn't go to a stranger out of the tribe or even far out of the family itself. And so someone had to buy the land. But also in that situation, there was a legal tie up, not absolutely clear, but Boaz is very clever here. And he tries to say that the thing goes together. In the law of Israel, it probably didn't absolutely go together. And this near kinsman could have bought the land and said, no, I refuse to take up Ruth as a wife. But that would have been very cruel, very hard. And so the man, even for his own pride, wouldn't have done such a thing. And of course, Boaz knows all this. He's a very clever man in this redemption process that goes on here. Well, the land was Elimelech's. And then it was Mahlon and Chilion's. It was in need of redeeming, for the wives, Naomi and Ruth, had nothing to pay with. They are bankrupt and penniless, and unable to purchase their property to the saving of their persons, or to work it. It remains for a near kinsman, a redeemer, to save them and theirs by buying it for them. And so this nearer kinsman, in verse 4, is asked to do his duty. And he is willing. Buy it before the inhabitants, and before the elders of my people, says Boaz. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, and I'll do it, because I'm one after you. I will redeem it. And he says, I will redeem it. So he's willing to do it, which is fair enough, and very honest. And perhaps he even had his mind thinking, well, this is good, because maybe he would have to pay a lot of money for it, but it would be a larger farm for himself. So it worked first. he is quite willing. But we see here that Boaz has the trump card here in verse 5. Then said Boaz, "What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, to keep the name of the family, so that the eldest child would be of the family of Elimelech, and the second child would be the firstborn of Boaz." That was the way it would work. It would involve taking Ruth as wife. Well, verse 6, you see, it worked. The kinsman said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance." He wasn't willing to take Ruth, perhaps as another wife, which would have been not very good anyway. So he says, "No, I relinquish the right. Redeem thou my right to it thyself, for I cannot redeem it." Perhaps he was married, or was to be married, but he cannot contemplate marrying Ruth. So he waives his right, and it passes to Boaz. We have no doubt that Boaz knew this would be the outcome. The redemption must be according to God's law. Here was a custom in verse 7. This was the former manner in the time of Israel concerning redeeming, concerning changing of property, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbour. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, "Buy it for thee." So he drew off his shoe. We don't absolutely know what's going on here with this shoe. It's all very obscure in Israel's history. But we see it was something visible. It was a custom. Everyone could see. Perhaps he gave up his shoe. He gave up his right also to all, so that all could see and agree. So that, verse 8, it was going to be Boaz that would make the redemption. And there it comes in verse 9. "And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi, all the land which belonged to him, who was the husband of Naomi, the father of Ruth's husband, whose estate Boaz now bought, paying the value of it to Naomi, of the hand of Naomi, to whom the money is paid, and who delivered the estate to him." She couldn't work the land, so she sells it in the family, as it were, until the Jubilee. But of course, this was such a loving situation that probably they needn't do anything more than just live as a happy family and have the estates together. And that probably was what actually happened. Well, verse 10, "Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day." So Christ has purchased his wife, the church, and every true member of it, every convert, is his by right of purchase, by his blood, on the cross. And here, verse 11, "The people lay a blessing on Ruth, and all the people that were in the gate, and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel, and like Leah, which did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthy in Ephrata, and be famous in Bethlehem." So the blessing also there is upon Boaz. Verse 12, "And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman." So the whole village blesses Ruth and Boaz in their marriage. So verse 13, "Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son." Isn't that interesting? She never had a child when she was married to Mahlon, but now the Lord gives her conception. Wow, what a great turnaround from being a widowed heathen to being the wife and a mother in Israel, greatly blessed with all spiritual blessings, as every convert knows when he comes to know the Saviour. As was Naomi also in verse 14, greatly blessed. "Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee, Naomi, this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel." And the word of what a wonderful convert Ruth was there in verse 15. "And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, Ruth, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him." Wow, she sees here the village sees that Ruth is such a wonderful young lady. What a wonderful convert she was to the people of Israel. And so Ruth and Naomi are so close. Verse 16, Naomi takes the child and nurses it. In verse 17, it was Naomi's by redemption also. She was the grandmother. And the women, her neighbours, gave it a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi," and they called his name Obed. "He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." So you see, we move on from this redemption here and this redeemer, Boaz, to the actual redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see there. This history from Perez, the son of Judah, right through to Obed, Jesse in the last verse, and David. And from David, the Lord Jesus Christ, great David's greater son. Well, every book in the Bible has the same message. Salvation by grace, by a redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. So whenever we read these things, we're reading about ourselves as we've come to know the Saviour, and the church's responsibility to watch over those that newly come to trust in the living God. May the Lord bless these things to us. Well, let's sing together hymn number 421. "I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me." 421.